Good evening. This is Ruth Kovach bringing you Prison Pipeline. Welcome, all of you listeners. I always appreciate your support and your listening. Today, it's a sad day for Mamia Abu-Jamal. We're going to be talking to Patrick Ryan, one of the organizers here in Portland of Friends of Mamia of Portland, about a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that came down this morning and the action that we're going to take here in Portland. But first, we're going to be listening to Mamia. You know, we always get something out of talking to him. And today in particular, you have to know that here's a man that has been in lockdown on death row since 1981. When he was arrested, he was a beautiful young man. And now he's a beautiful man who's past 50 years old. He's there trying to fight for his freedom, trying to get the truth out, trying to fight for justice. And something I've said, I've been working over 10 years is in support of Mamia. And something I said the very first meeting I was ever at, and I've been saying it every time I talk about Mamia since, and that is, if we don't save Mamia, none of us is safe. Well, 10 years ago, that was pretty true. But now, with the U.S. Task Force, with the U.S. Patriot Act, with all of the illegal immigrants who have been locked up with no representation or attorneys, with all the people who have been labeled terrorists, whether they were or not, and have been locked up and disappeared, put in terrible prisons where they're tortured, the fact is, if the justice system is such a terrible injustice system that they can arrest someone, torture them, throw away the key, and we sit around and act like, that's okay. Well, it isn't okay. And that's what Patrick Ryan and I will be talking about. But first, I'll get my breath while we listen to Mamia Abu-Jamal.
Summitry and punditry. Amidst pomp, circumstance, and protests, 20 world leaders gathered in London recently for what was essentially a mass photo op. Billed as G20, the gathering of 20 leading and developing economies, it seemed more like a gathering of the blind, groping for light. The great Nigerian playwright, Wole Soyinka, in his biting poetic critique of African military dictatorships, the apotheosis of Master Sergeant Doe, writes, "But crowns are crowns. When rulers meet, their embraces are of presence. Absent cries make empty phrases." That poem leapt to mind when images were flashed of politicians wearing cheesy smiles, embracing each other amidst the pops and flashes of photographers. For hugs and smiles amongst politicians do not policy make. Nations act through their own interests, period. If that means hamming it up for photo ops, so be it. If that means grimacing across shiny wooden tables, so be it. A year ago, at a similar economic summit in Davos, Switzerland, then U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice told the delegates, "The U.S. economy is resilient, its structure is sound, and its long-term economic fundamentals are healthy." That wasn't true then, and it ain't true now. The truth is, the U.S. and the global economic system was built and maintained on systemic injustice, I speak of African slavery, and profound exploitation of workers worldwide and at home. The truth is, this is a crisis endemic to capitalism, where markets swallow markets, and wealth is made by con games that would make the mafia blush, but the biggest banks on earth. The latest economic summit was PR amidst chaos. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
Well, if anybody knows about injustice in the prison system, it's Mamia. And to talk to me about it tonight is Patrick Ryan, an organizer of Friends of Mamia of Portland. And how are you, Patrick? Are you on the line?
I am on the line. Hi, Ruth.
Well, I wish we had something happy to talk about, but it's really a sad, sad day for Mamia. And like you, around 9:30 this morning, I got an email that told me about a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. You want to tell our listeners about it?
I do. This morning, the mainstream news announced that the Supreme Court have rejected Mumia's appeal for a new guilt phase trial. Now, basically, we don't have the reasons why this has happened, and Mumia's lead attorney, Robert R. Bryan, will be filing a petition for a rehearing at the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, Mumia's appeal was based primarily on the U.S. Supreme Court's 1986 Batson versus Kentucky ruling, which stated that a defendant deserves a new trial if it can be shown that the prosecutor used peremptory strikes to remove otherwise qualified jurors simply because of their race. Now, the only information...
So in plain language, that means bias, that they don't let any black people on the jury, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
and
go ahead.
Mumia himself has said that there's always been different laws for black people in this country. And Mumia has made a statement already, and he says that all he knows is that he's on a list of certainly denied appeals from the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes, I. We have a transcript of that. In fact, in the news between 5:30 and 6, KBOO played a bit of that transcript where Mumia says all he knows about why it was denied is because there was a list of appeals denied, and his name was on the list.
Exactly. And Mumia has also said that if it was denied because of the Batson appeal, that to him it shows that the law in this country is politics by other means and that the Constitution means nothing.
Well, you know, what got me in the email that I got, someone directed to me, included was with the headline, Supreme Court Lets Mumia Abu-Jamal's Conviction Stand by Bill Mears, CNN Supreme Court producer. And what Bill Mears does, it states from Washington, CNN, he writes a lengthy letter, I mean it's about a page and a half on the email, telling about Mumia's case and telling that they have denied his appeal. And when I looked at the headline, I thought, oh, this is going to give the lowdown about all the injustice and how unfair this is. And then I started reading it. And whenever he says something that I might agree with, he says, he contends that this, he claims this and that, and so on. And then it says, as if it were a fact, he was convicted for the murder of so-and-so. And then goes back to, he contends they were unfairly, the justices made their announcement, and so on. Did you read that same one?
I did, and it was pretty disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, this is the CNN News in Washington, and it mentions, among other things, just one sentence that one of the conditions of his conviction was his confession. And it doesn't even allude to the fact that those of us who have supported Mumia since 1981 have so much information, so many facts, we have sworn testimony that makes the confession they refer to nil and void. First place, the confession claims that when Mumia was taken to the hospital after being shot twice and very badly hurt and full of bruises, though I don't know how you get bruises all over your body just because an officer shoots in self-defense, but he was comatose. He was unable to speak. We have hospital staff who actually say that he was unable to speak all that time. And then they say in the confession that he screamed and shouted with a lot of curse words and so on, that he killed the guy and he hopes he dies. And this confession was not produced. Do you remember how long after the actual crime? It was weeks.
Yeah, and it's important to remember the background of Mumia, too. He was known in Philadelphia as someone that was, you know, a speaker of truth. He had been a former member of the Black Panther Party. He was an award-winning journalist. You know, he was noted in Philadelphia for telling people the truth, and that, you know, created some tensions with the power structures in Philadelphia. And that fact was ignored in the CNN article completely.
Oh, well, of course it is. And for them to refer to this confession when not only was this produced weeks after the crime, it was produced by the partner of the officer who was killed. Now, if you're out there on the beat and your partner gets killed, and you go to the hospital with someone that you shoot down because you caught the murderer, and they confess, you would think that would be something you just couldn't wait to tell everybody. But he waited weeks, and it was given that he was too upset to remember. He had trouble recalling it. I mean, give me a break. And then, 2 days after he said it, then another hospital staff person who wanted to be a policeman always, she was kind of a security person, confirmed that confession. So these two people that heard the confession. Now, this is a big hospital full of staff and full of policemen, and only these two heard it. But he shouted it, and, come on.
Exactly. Well, Ruth, organizers here in Portland are already on the ground getting things running for our response here in Portland. We do have an event planned at Pioneer Courthouse Square this Saturday at 10 a.m., which will be April 11th, and there will be speakers and flyers, information, and people displaying information about Mumia and his trial. And we're doing this in solidarity with Mumia, that he knows that his supporters are still there, and that the world knows the information about this huge injustice and joke of a criminal process.
Well, are you hoping for a big crowd, I hope?
Always hoping for a big crowd.
Those folks that are listening, I will be posting on the Prison Pipeline website information that says Patrick Ryan plans were discussed for Portland action Sunday, April 11, 10 o'clock at Pioneer Square. Bring signs. Bring loud voices. Let's make a noise. Let's let Mumia and everyone else in Portland know that we stand with him. There's thousands of people in Portland who support Mumia, and they've just been so discouraged after 20 years. They don't speak up. They don't show up at some of the events. And yet everywhere I go, every meeting I go to, there'll be 40 people at the meeting, and all 40 of them support Mumia. And then I go to another meeting, and there's a different 40 people there, and all 40 of them support Mumia. And then when we have something in the street, we're happy when we had a couple hundred. Well, I want to see 1,000 or more out there on Saturday, April 11th at Pioneer Square, 10 a.m. And let's just show our support that way.
Absolutely. And if people want more information, they can go to our group's website, which is located at Mumia, which is spelled M.
Now, what group is this? This is the name of the group?
Portland Friends of Mumia.
Okay, it's the group that put on the last Mumia event at PSU, and it's the group that will be organizing this Saturday morning event, right?
That's right.
And how do they reach them?
Well, we have a website at Mumia, which is spelled mumia.justfree.com. You can also reach us by telephone at 503-515-9540. Again, the action is going to be planned at Pioneer Courthouse Square Saturday, April 11th. And bring anything you can, signs, noise makers, puppets, anything. We're going to have this demonstration to be loud and eventful, and it will be fun, too.
Will you give me that telephone number again, please?
503-515-9540.
That's one of the organizers' telephone numbers, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's good. It's strange. I wrote up some information. I didn't put that phone number in. And another thing I got in the email was from Hans Bennett. Do you know who Hans Bennett is?
Yes.
Tell us.
Well, I think you'd be better to tell us who Hans Bennett is.
Okay.
In a gist.
Well, Hans Bennett is a person who is really on top of the Mumia thing. In fact, he has an organization that organizes the journalists who write anything about Mumia, and he's constantly He's constantly networking anyone who writes or reads about Mumia. And he has put a big email on the web. One is from Patrick O'Connor, who's the author of The Framing of Mumia. And Hans Bennett got right on the phone with Patrick O'Connor and interviewed him about it and prints that interview on the email. And basically what Patrick O'Connor has to say is it came to him as a surprise, because it only takes 4 justices to grant the writ. And in a previous hearing last year, in a decision of 7-2, he thought that there was really hope that when it got to this next group that they would be actually giving them a new trial. And then another person that Hans Bennett goes to is Michael Schiffman. Now, Michael Schiffman is the co-founder of Journalists for Mumia, and he's the German author of the book Race Against Death and another book, Mumia Abu-Jamal, A Black Revolutionary in White America. And also, again, Michael Schiffman writes, according to the CNN report, they've turned down Mumia's petition. If true, as it appears to be, this report marks one of the darkest days in the history of the U.S. judicial system. An innocent prisoner who was consecutively framed by the police, the prosecution, the whole succession of courts, has apparently just been denied the very least he can demand, not even a new trial, but a hearing about a new trial. Like, he wasn't just denied his new trial, he was denied a hearing to see if he could get a new trial. And
right.
So at the same time, this seems to mean that Mamiya is in greater danger of being executed than ever before. Because now, and that's according to that CNN report that we first mentioned when we started our conversation tonight, wanted to read that so that it would be absolutely right. He says, the U.S. Supreme Court may still consider the DA's pending appeal to reinstate the death penalty without a new sentencing hearing.
That's
now,
right.
If they reinstate that death penalty without a new sentencing hearing, that means that they can set an execution date without any more court la-la-la stuff. That's scary.
It's very scary, Ruth. I also wanted to let people know that there's going to be a book party for Mamiya's new book, Jailhouse Lawyers.
Right.
And that is going to be April 24th, which is a Friday, at 7 p.m. at the Bread and Roses Center, which is located at 819 North Killingsworth Street. And you'll be able to purchase Mamiya's new book there. So.
And the book is about jailhouse lawyers, and Mamiya is a jailhouse lawyer. He knows a lot of jailhouse lawyers. And the reason we want you to buy the book is not just to learn about jailhouse lawyering, but all of the proceeds of this book go towards Mamiya's defense fund.
That's right.
And that's very important because he really needs defense money. Okay, so what do you think is going to happen next?
Well, a new round of appeals will begin. Like I said earlier, the defense's attorney, the DA's separate appeal, which is what you were just talking about, could still go through, which would mean that Mamiya could be executed without a new sentencing hearing. I think that it's important that everyone who are concerned about Mamiya's life work and do everything they can to stop that from happening at this point. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that, like you said, there's thousands of people that support Mamiya and want to see him not only, a new trial, but set free because he's an innocent man. And that's a fact that we have to keep reiterating with people, is that Mamiya is an innocent man.
Well, I was thinking if the engineer was available for just a minute, Rebecca, that we also have a 2.5-minute interview. Excuse me. We have a 2.5-minute interview with Mamiya, where he made statements after the court ruling, and I think that we can hear that, and it'll just take a couple minutes. Rebecca, are you ready to put that one on? And here it goes.
Mamiya, what's your reaction?
Well, all I know is, what Christina told me, so there's nothing. There's nothing to read. There's no order other than my name is on a list of cert denied.
That's right.
So we don't know anything, and, if it is the Batson issue, then it just shows you that precedent means nothing, that the law is politics by other means, and that the Constitution means nothing, that a fair jury means nothing,
You said when I just first talked to you something about it's another day and how many days?
Another day and three decades.
When did you stop being surprised?
When I was at pretrial hearing before Judge Sabo, and he denied the motion. I knew then that he wasn't working with the Constitution. It did surprise me, and it really shocked me because, I'd read the cases. I knew what the law was. I knew what the law book said the law was. I learned then that they're not going by that kind of law. And apparently they're not going by that kind of law now. If you read Batson and you read my case, then it's almost as if you're in two different universes. And in fact, you are. You are.
Are there different rules for what type of people?
Well, there's always been different rules for black people. If you read Batson, what will surprise people who have never done so It has nothing to do with the accused, the defendant, the person on trial. Batson, in its own terms, says it protects the rights of those people who are allegedly American citizens who are denied the right to serve as jurors. That's what it says. That's what it says. But in fact, you know, how does it do that when it allows people to be removed after Batson became law for spurious reasons? You know, Batson can be bested and beaten by exactly the way the DA's office said it could be beaten, by lying and getting up and saying, well, no, we didn't have any racist reasons, and we're not, you know, listen to the videotape.
We have 60 seconds remaining.
Listen to the videotape, and if that doesn't tell you all you need to know, then you're either deaf, dumb, or blind.
Whose videotape?
The videotape of the DA, the training videotape of Jack McMahon of the Philadelphia DA's office from 1986.
And that was Mamiya being interviewed after he got the news. That's probably the first time I have ever heard his voice speak about his own case. All those essays he's written, all those articles, all those books, he talks about justice and injustice and conditions in prison. And I hear the sadness in his voice, and it puts sadness in my heart. Had you heard that interview yet, Patrick?
I had heard parts of it. Yeah, it's difficult to listen to, hearing Mumia talk so despondently about the situation. But like I said, we're all going to be fired up and ready for this action on Saturday and doing the best we can to save his life.
Well, and did you agree with what I said at the beginning of the program? If we can't save Mumia, none of us is safe. How
That's
dreadful
exactly right.
It is that they can lock a man up and keep him on death row, and he's not the only one. KBOO is going to put on a very fine program on Mamiya's birthday, April 24th. Jenka Soderberg, the director of news and current events here at KBOO, has been putting it together. She's contacted political prisoners, and they have returned her contact, and she's putting together a program that's going to last several hours in the middle of the day about political prisoners who just seem to be locked up and they threw away the key. They can't get appeals. They're in the same boat that Mamiya is. Now, if you line up all of these political prisoners and you try to say, if we can't save Mamiya, why, we can't save anyone, the reason I say that is Mamiya has received international attention for over 20 years. And if we can't use that attention, if we can't use that people power to get him free, what do you have to do when someone innocent is on death row? Your turn, Patrick.
Well, that's you said it all, Ruth. What do you have to do to get someone that's innocent off death row? I think everyone is seeing this process happen right now. The corruption at so many different levels, and the nasty politics that gets involved when someone is innocent, but you know the system doesn't want to let that person go for whatever reason. You know, going back to what I said earlier about Mumia's past as a journalist and someone as a truth, you know, speaker, that is threatening to the system, and there are people that would not want Mumia's voice to be heard anymore. But we're, like I said, we're doing everything we can to defend his voice. And, you know, to let people know that there's things that they can do to help.
Well, I think what's kept him alive all these years is if they release him, he would be such a powerful, influential speaker. He would be such a voice for truth. His mark on truth and justice before he was ever arrested was already so strong. They'd been watching him since he was 15 years old that the other alternative was to execute him, which they wanted to do quickly. But now that so much time has gone by, it would make him a martyr. And I think that all those people who've been sitting on their chairs when we have these demonstrations and get together, if they executed Mumia, they'd be so outraged the streets would be filled all over the world. And I'm appealing to such folks in Portland. Don't wait until we have to come out and grieve because of an execution. Come out this Saturday, 10 a.m., Pioneer Square. Bring a sign. Bring your voices. Bring your outrage. Okay, Patrick, I want to thank you for calling in. I really want to thank you for setting aside everything else you have to do in life. I know that you do have a life besides your activism work, and yet when you got this news, you set it all aside, and you're going to be working very hard between now and Saturday to do the necessary things to make an event in Pioneer Square one that's meaningful. And so
that's
thanks
right.
for calling in.
And thank you, Ruth, for everything you've done. You've been very helpful.
Okay, and we'll be in touch. I'll see you Saturday.
Good night,
Patrick. Patrick Ryan. And to you listeners, I just can't say enough. I'm very unhappy about all this. It's very upsetting to me. It's something I've been working on for over 10 years, and I just can't believe. I'm outraged that we're still getting rulings like this, that our so-called democracy, our so-called justice system, it really shakes my faith in them that when I see something like this happen. So I hope you'll all be out there Saturday, because Mamiya needs you, and frankly, I need you too. I have to know that I'm not alone, so please be there. And we'll be saying good night. And of course, if you have someone in lockdown, write to them, call them, visit them. We have to let justice prevail. And good night.